heading out.
Calling it a night?
Well, actually, my night is just beginning.
Ooh, welcome to the Players Club.
No, I'm not high-fiving that.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where we talk about a different episode of the series every other week, and we're going through the whole thing in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. This was take two.
Yeah.
And you criticized yourself for not having something different to say.
I didn't have time to create something different.
I know.
So I just laughed.
Okay. It makes it sound like we're having so much fun.
Yep.
So we can get into it, but a listener did have a question. I think people see that the end is coming, and I don't want to say they're panicking.
I don't think they are.
I don't think
that's
they
why
are
you don't
either.
Want to say that, because it's not true. Nobody's panicking.
I don't want to say
that. I'll get an hour of my life back.
I don't want to say that anybody cares but us. Mm-hmm. But we did have a listener reach out and say, I think it would be a good idea if after the final episode, you had one more episode just to wrap things up, whether it's to go through some rankings or just final thoughts on the show.
Okay.
I don't want to say I already had that idea.
Oh.
But I thought it would be really abrupt if just at the end of the last episode, we're like, here it is in our rankings. Bye, everybody. And just left.
Okay.
So I do think if people are, planning, I keep saying far ahead. It's not that far.
What'd you say, March?
I think it's March. All right, it's still a while.
Well, but still, it's already November. Like,
You're right. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
But that is
winter
the
is
plan.
Coming. If we did a Game of Thrones podcast, we could
God.
See that.
Could you imagine?
Oh, that would be terrible. We talked about our lack of understanding. Not understanding, I don't know, of Game of Thrones. But
I have trouble following Schitt's Creek sometimes.
What?
I don't think.
No, you don't.
No, I guess not.
Yeah.
No, but that would be terrible. People have asked if we're doing anything after this. If people ask, I've made it
abundantly clear that I'm out.
That you're out.
I might not even participate in the last show. It might be you in this closet talking to yourself.
Right.
No, I've said numerous times, this has really like never been in my comfort zone.
No.
And if anybody wanted to quit over the past six seasons, it's not been you. Not that I've wanted to quit, but
no.
It just feels more like a chore to me a little bit
than
to you. Like, I feel like life is busy, and it's kind of always feels like it's one more thing to do. It's a fun thing to do, but like sometimes it's just like an additional thing to schedule in an already busy schedule.
No, I know.
So, yeah.
I'm sure our listeners appreciate that you're
unloading my baggage.
Your way through it. No, you're sticking with it regardless of how much you don't like to sit and talk into a microphone.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. No, it's just not my jam.
Okay. I also think it's important to note that last night after we watched this and took notes and everything, you said to our daughter, how about we start from
let's watch the first episode. We didn't watch anything else beyond that, but that's a fun episode.
Oh, no,
so,
no. Of course. I'm just saying doing this or your lack of enthusiasm has nothing to do with your
lack of enthusiasm
about the show.
It's not lack of enthusiasm. It's just the fact of like, oh my gosh, it's one more thing we have to fit in. And it always feels like we kind of are like, wait, when are we, like even this morning, we're like, wait, can we do this really quick right now before we need to go like, you know, 18 different places and
listen, there was
100 different things.
There were, what, 6, 7, 13-year-olds in our house sleeping over last night, which didn't help with us kind of trying to get our...
Oh, yeah. It's always like kind of squeezing it in where we can squeeze it in. And it just will be nice to not have to feel like, oh, my God, where are we squeezing this, you know, additional thing in?
Well, get ready. Plan one final episode.
Get excited.
In your schedule. So you're going to be stuck in here with me one final week after you thought it was all
after
over.
After I thought I would be done, right. I'm being forced to continue.
That's right.
No, it's fine. I do. I really enjoy talking about it, but it is just always a matter of like trying to figure out like when is there the time to do it. You know, if this was our only job, if we would have had enough support to just live on this alone, then we would have a lot of time.
Oh, should I go back and, I don't know, contact some podcast ad services and be like, can you retroactively put ads into all our old episodes? And then per listen, we'll get 3 cents, maybe something like that.
Right. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, we're here and we're sort of nearing, I guess next time will be the midpoint of season 6.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about the 6th episode of season 6, The Wingman. The original air date was February 11th of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And too bad we don't have like a soundboard with sound effects. We have a brand new director.
Ta-da!
Oh, why haven't you been doing that the whole time?
I don't know.
Oh, don't worry, we have 3 guests. You could do that for all of them in this episode.
Okay.
This is directed by Donna Croce.
Mm-hmm. Is she related to Pat Croce?
No, she's not.
Okay.
For those of you that are unfamiliar with
most people,
or Philadelphia 76er
head coaches. Isn't there like a Jim Croce that was like a singer?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I should have said him first. Are they related?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I didn't do that research. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
To either and any of those relationships. This is the one and only episode of anything she's ever directed.
Oh, wow.
Her director credit includes The Wingman and nothing else. Now, she did serve as the script supervisor for every single episode of Schitt's Creek.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The entire run of the series. That's what she did. And if you look at her
work... What does one do as a script supervisor?
I think you just look through and make sure that all the characters' names are spelled right. That's mean.
What?
I'm sure they do more than that. No, that does
sound mean.
That's a way to say, I have no idea what a script supervisor does. But apparently she's good at it. She's done it on multiple shows. And what I found really interesting is before this phase of her career, she was a classical ballerina who toured with a company and everything like that.
If you
go to her Instagram, it's pretty much pictures from Schitt's Creek and her
ballet
dancing like in the woods and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very fun. So it's a one and done. It's not even like we can rank her episodes or talk about the great ones. I guess, you know, though she's had a hand in every episode, so good on her. This is written by David West Reed, who we're familiar with.
Yes.
It's his 2nd of 5 episodes this season.
Okay.
Let's
go live with Barb and Lizzie.
Have we ever opened a Schitt's Creek episode with none of the characters and not in the town or any place that we've ever been before?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
We're never good asking that kind of question because we won't remember.
No, we won't remember.
Right.
I mean,
but other people would.
Yeah, let us know if we ever opened with something that appears to be unrelated to anything we've seen up to this point, because it's a morning show.
Yeah.
With, who is it, Barb and...
Barb and Lizzie.
Barb and Lizzie, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Wow, I just started our notes and I... totally lost where I was.
Oh, we just started and already it's all circling downhill.
I think I'm thrown because we talked about director, writer, and my first notes are Lizzie and Barb.
Right.
So let's not even get into it. Let's talk about Lizzie and Barb
first.
Let's do it. So Lizzie is played by Christy Bruce. Quick question. Who's who? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was just assuming Barb was on the left and Lizzie was on the right.
Okay.
Like when you look at the screen.
All right. You know what? Let's go left to right. Let's talk about Barb first.
That's a guess.
Barb is played by Eliza Malcherry, who was in Monk, Puppets Who Kill, Degrassi Next Generation, Expanse, Designated Survivor, Working Moms, and something called Tiny Pretty Things. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's her most recent.
It sounds kind of familiar, actually.
Yeah. And
I guess people that maybe have seen these shows might recognize and know which one is which.
You know, honestly,
we've never seen any of these.
The one on the right, we're referring to her as Lizzie. That looked like a wig. Did you see what she was wearing?
Well, you kind of said she looked a little bit like a Melissa Joan Hart.
She did, yes.
But like a brunette Melissa Joan Hart. Her face did have a little bit of resemblance to
Maybe
her.
That's why I thought it was a wig. I just thought it was Melissa Joan Hart in a wig.
I don't know. She might have, but why?
I don't. Would she put a wig on? I don't know. Just to make her look more like a Kathy Lee type, I'm going to say. Because that's what these women
or
are doing.
Kelly Ripa.
Like, this is a silly, fun morning show.
Yeah.
But anyway, she has a pretty extensive IMDb. She's been in multiple episodes of, I think, all of these shows. Mm-hmm. Lizzie, not quite as long a list. She's played by Christy Bruce, but she's been in shows like Little Mosque on the Prairie, Designated Survivor.
I love the names of all these.
Suits and multiple episodes of Orphan Black and The Odd Squad.
Okay.
As well as she played the role of Mother in a TV movie, I don't think it's animated, called Terrific Trucks Save Christmas.
Wow.
It didn't say voice, so it must be a live action movie about trucks that save Christmas.
Well, maybe they bring lots of gifts.
Oh, that makes sense.
Does it, though?
If they're dump trucks and stuff, they got room.
I don't know.
But anyway, we're into this morning show, this silly little morning show, and they are there talking about the Crows premiere that we saw last episode.
The whole PR stunt that is just all the rage and all the talk on the socials.
Yeah, so this has been spun to be a stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis is the one who...
It's her PR stunt. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Basically a crow attack is a PR stunt.
I'm sure the people, if this is their job, they have to do things like this constantly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this fight that was in public between these two famous people was a publicity stunt to, I don't know, promote their movie or something like that. It is... And... They're talking to Moira. This looks great. Like, this is a professional sort of... Did you notice she has a camera person?
Yeah.
And someone, I think, handling the lights or whatever?
Yeah. They have, like, a whole background and everything. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that they went to her. They didn't bring her to them.
Oh, wow. Good question or good point.
You know, like, you would think if it was, like, a morning talk show...
Yeah.
They have people come in all the time for stuff like that.
They do, but we don't know where this is.
Right.
You know?
Oh, no.
And again, if this just happened, it's all over the news.
Right.
I
they
want to,
like,
that they could...
get it immediately.
Yeah. So
if they
remote...
had enough time to send people to her.
Right. Oh, do you think... Oh,
to video.
Okay.
Or did you
assume that was Alexis's doing. Like, she was contacted where can you, you know, Zoom in or Skype in or whatever.
I don't know.
Was able to grab these people from town.
I thought maybe they, like, sent the people to her. Like, we're going to send out a camera crew.
I never worked in TV. I don't know how
that
works.
Either.
I don't know if they have those people to just send out, but maybe they do.
Yeah. No, but it was definitely, they said, I mean, it must have been right after the premiere. They talked about it got 2 million views in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming they're not having a conversation about this like 3 weeks later.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And it's trending and everything. So yeah, they wanted to jump on this right away.
Yes. I love this talk because, of course, Moira is doing her Moira-isms.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis has cue cards, which is really great.
Yeah.
And each...
But the cue cards aren't what she's supposed to say.
No.
It's what she's not supposed to say.
Right, exactly.
Like, stop talking about social media. Stop talking about this. stop. Yes. Yeah.
And each cue card, I love it. Each one appears to only have, like, 2 to 3 words on it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really big.
Yeah.
Because she does... Alexis does try and get her to stop talking because... I love how Moira is basically teaching the audience how streaming works.
Mm-hmm.
How she's like, the great thing is, you can just start the movie
wherever you want, and like anytime you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's Alexis jump in at the end.
I found this so
cute
nice.
And funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think last episode, I was very critical of how critical everyone was of all the work that Alexis has been putting in. Right. So it was really nice for Moira to say, and here's my publicist slash daughter, whatever.
Yeah.
And she has her sit with her, but of course she's not mic'd.
She's just trying to, she's not mic'd and she's just kind of trying to steal the spotlight the whole time with like her, you know, poses and everything else.
Yeah. I do like how Moira does say she's not mic'd and like rolls her eyes like you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's a very fun way to open this episode. And like we said before, very, very different. So then we get our title card and we get into
the motel office.
I guess the like the A plot of this particular episode. I mean, it's the name of the episode.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Which is, first of all, I have to say, we don't ruin our thoughts till the end. This is the last episode that is going to be new to me.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how I missed a few. Mm-hmm. This is one we missed. One that I missed. This is a great episode. I found it very funny. I think, and I've said it before,
and we know why.
I want is Bob. Like, I just want Bob, and I just want Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie was funny in this.
I want them. I want a spinoff of them as roommates. I want that show now.
It's like The Odd Couple.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
But we go to the motel office, like you said, and
Ronnie brings in and introduces her new roommate, Bob. Because Gwen took the house.
Just the fact that Bob is crying through this episode, just manic, like trying to pretend that nothing bothers him, but sort of breaking down in tears at the end of every scene.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. All of Ronnie's jokes are great.
Yeah.
But her first idea is, can he stay at this motel? Can we
for
just
a night or two or six?
Yes. Can we just get him out of my hair?
Right.
Like, he's Bob and he's devastated. I can't imagine what horrible roommate situation this would be.
Yeah.
Johnny's
a little irritating all on his own.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah. Johnny and Roland are there, and Johnny wants nothing to do with this at all. Because then the idea of basically trying to set Bob up with someone who's currently at the motel, or just meet a friend, or just something.
Yeah, just set him up with somebody. Yeah, because, he's kind of like, we don't have any clean rooms available.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird excuse. Because Bob's like, I don't care. I'll take a dirty room. It's fine. Like,
and that's also where he said, I hope that didn't sound as sad as it felt.
Yeah.
Bob's got some amazing lines here. They kind of, I love how they try and get him out of the conversation by just telling him to go over and have some water.
Have some water to rehydrate himself after all the crying.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Johnny's bright idea is to just have this offsite and to say, let's take him out tonight. Just the four of us hitting the town. Also, big question that I didn't think we were watching this. Who's watching the motel that night? We find out later Stevie's not there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They just put a back tomorrow sign on the door, and
maybe
that's it.
Does the office close at some point in time overnight? I don't know.
I'm sure it doesn't stay open all night. All right, so they're going to go, and that's the big deal with this episode.
Yes.
He's going to go find Bob a lady?
I guess. I like how, they talk about him, like, not being alone, and then he references that Gwen has many male cousins visiting.
Yep.
She's not spending any time alone.
Right, yeah.
But we already knew that about Gwen.
In case we didn't already dislike Gwen, they're really laying it on thick now.
100%.
So now let's go to Patrick's apartment. Because, this episode just keeps getting more and more fun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they can't wait. This is a big deal. Did you find, maybe it's because we watched this on a TV in an area in our house that we've never watched this show on before, did this look different? Like the whole episode?
Yeah, but I don't know. To me, I never, ever, I think this is the first thing I've ever watched in that space on this TV.
Okay. You don't go in the basement a lot.
I don't. We have a basement, you know, hangout space, whatever. And I don't ever go down there. I go down there to, like, get things from the little storage room we have, and that's it. I don't hang out down there. I don't watch TV down there.
It's kind of cold.
But the nicest TV that we have in the house is in that space. So everything just looked big to me, but that's because it's a much bigger screen than the TV we use when we just, like, hang upstairs in our like, living room space.
I just felt like when we were in the office, we were seeing it from an angle that we don't normally see. So much of that background area, so much of the I don't know, the,
like, where the bed and everything is, we've seen that though before. You mean in Patrick's?
No, I'm sorry, in the office, in the motel office. Like where they send Bob
back.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a different kind of view.
I feel like we haven't seen that since angles. They were
We said a new director, right?
Right.
So this person had some different ideas on how to shoot.
I feel like last time we saw this angle was when they were eating cinnamon buns and drinking vodka.
Oh, no, that I think was even a totally different angle. Okay, yeah.
And then this in Patrick's apartment, just the idea of, like, Patrick
it's
was
like they were
making
in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and then it was from his point of view, like, as David was talking.
And I know during their housewarming, we were in the kitchen area for just a brief minute, but it just, I don't know, the layout felt interesting and different.
I think the camera angles, I guess, were just a little different, which was fun.
But they are waiting for a new coffee table.
Oh, and David's being, like, so critical. Like, oh, I wish I had someplace to put my feet up, or I don't know where I'd put the drink that you bring me because there's no place to set it.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of weird.
And 100%, again, didn't see this episode before.
Oh. But you didn't see this coming at all?
Well, I didn't until, I don't know if it's David or Patrick that says, well, when it's going to be handmade, you know it's going to take a while. I was like, I can't wait. I know what's happening now. And of course, it then gets delivered.
By everyone's favorite. I don't know even what to call him. I don't know. Everyone's favorite. I don't know. I can't. I got nothing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Delivered by Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Everyone's favorite furniture maker. We'll call him that because I can't even think of, like, another word.
Everyone's favorite furniture maker in town.
Yes.
Jake.
Yes.
Super fun.
Yeah.
It's really great. This scene is really fun because this scene starts with, of course, Jake gives mouth kisses to everyone he sees all the time, I think. I assume.
I love how you say mouth kisses. Everyone's favorite mouth kisser.
How do we describe it?
Oh, I don't know. It just sounded funny. That's
you can't
all.
Just say face kisses. Well, that could be anywhere.
He kisses everyone. I would assume if you say kisses, that means on the lips.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're greeting someone, I don't know. I don't know. You don't say cheek kisses.
No, but I assume.
But you assume.
But if somebody says to me, oh, this person always greets you by kissing, I'm assuming it's cheek kisses.
All right. Well, it's Jake, though. We kind of know him.
Oh, no. I know Jake.
We're onto his vibe.
Right. We totally are.
Yeah.
And this scene is fun because it shifts completely from Patrick at first, I think, being a little bit jealous because of, you know.
Yeah.
Mouth kissy Jake.
Uh-huh.
But then he then just starts complimenting Patrick.
Right.
Quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. And I think he might have, I think he might have been jealous, but, like, obviously he met, like, encountered him, ordered this table, set up everything else. So, like, he already was kind of like, great, like, this guy's coming over, and then maybe a little taken aback when he, like, greeted David that way, but he had seen him before.
Right.
So, like, he knew about this history, but I guess he just assumed things had died off, and he wasn't anticipating that, I guess.
I didn't even think about that.
They made a comment, and he said, like, I've met him before, or whatever.
I didn't even think about that when I was watching this, because Jake, and listen, I'm sure Jake is quite flaky, he doesn't play it off as though he's ever met him before.
Yeah.
Because Patrick...
But Patrick kind of didn't David either. That was a conversation between David and Patrick when Jake wasn't even there about meeting him.
But what
previously.
I mean is, David introduce, like, even just, like, introduces him.
Oh, true.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Yeah, it's my boyfriend, and then Patrick's, like, fiance.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So do you think that Patrick wore this sweater because he knew it brought out his lips and he wanted
Oh, I think he was like totally like, yeah, like, this is great. I'm going to have this guy and he's going to bring this table over. And I think both of them were like giddy with excitement over this.
Also, real quick, other question, because it comes back later, points to something that you mentioned. Is Patrick, do you think Patrick is making homemade pretzels in this kitchen? Is that what he's doing
right now? Maybe.
Just the fact that later on, David has a pretzel that looks like he ran out of the apartment
it's like a
to a
pretzel,
guy
100%.
In a cart
like
outside.
Annie Ann's delivered it in DoorDash.
And they made a big deal. Like, he's in there doing something in a pan.
I didn't really pay. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. All right. That would be really fun.
It was great, though.
That's actually what's happening. Yeah. But long story short, and boy, are we making a long story of this.
Yeah.
Jake invites them both over.
To a chill night in.
Chill night in for a whiskey or whatever.
Yeah. Come by for a whiskey.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. But,
it's so much fun.
Yeah. So this is another.
Okay. Everybody, hold on to your seats.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. I love this. This is the Patrick I want to see all the time.
Yes.
I love him. He was fun. He was like having a great time with us. Like, it was super cute. And they were like a couple that was like happy and fun. And oh my gosh, this is so exciting. We're going to this party. Like, they were giddy. Like, this is the Patrick I want to see all the time.
And they're a couple who I'm sure we've seen it before. Again, they're on the same team. Like, they're I don't want to say talking about someone else, so maybe that's fun. But through the entire episode, I thought it was really great, the way that they're interacting. And it's not that they aren't having fun at each other's expense. They're still doing that. They're still tossing around these insults.
But it's good-natured, and it's fun, and they're both involved in it. And it just, props to this Patrick. Mm-hmm. Like, I love him. I love everything between the two of them in this episode. Like, this is the Patrick that I like. And it's not that I don't love him. There's just so many moments that I just don't always love their interaction.
I agree.
And this is, like, perfect.
Yes,
I loved
agree.
It. It was adorable. He was adorable. Yeah. Totally just likable and everything. Like,
also, another,
I loved it.
Another thing I liked, and this is going back, we might have to, like, split this episode into two chunks. Because we're going long. So if we have to run our kids to dance or whatever, we might have to stop this and try and pick up. But I also really enjoyed earlier how Ronnie was kind of a stand-in for Stevie when she and Roland were ganging up on Johnny talking about how old he was.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun. And again, that's something I've been missing from Stevie for a while.
Yeah.
Was just Roland's old man jokes are fine and they're funny, but just, you know, I enjoyed that.
Oh, and I think anytime you get Ronnie in there with her, like, sarcastic wit, it always, she is. She's a little Stevie-esque.
Yeah.
And we've been losing that a little bit from Stevie recently. Not necessarily in this episode.
No.
I think she's back and better than ever.
What a shock and a surprise at the end of this, I thought was really great.
Yeah.
All right, so let's try and do another.
We're fine.
Segment or two.
We still have 40 minutes.
Do they know they're supposed to be getting ready?
Why are we having this conversation right now?
Okay, all right. I don't know.
Are we leaving all this in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
This is just us parenting in the midst of a podcast about Schitt's Creek. It's all good. Let's go to the Galapagos. Let's leave our worries behind.
Yes.
And go to the Galapagos.
Yep, the dormitory at the Galapagos.
That's just riddled with fire ants.
Yep. Well, no, not now. He's in somebody else's room.
Right.
Everything's great
Stuart,
in this room.
He's in Stuart's room.
Stuart's room has an amazing poster.
Stuart's dorm, he called it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you would go to the Galapagos' tropical island and hang up a picture
of a tropical island
behind you. But it does make
it looks
for
like
laughs.
A fake like Zoom background.
Oh, it looks so silly. And the fact that Alexis and Moira think it's real is kind of fun.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, Alexis is talking to Ted, and Ted's just talking about how he has to use somebody else's dorm.
Right.
His is a mess with fire ants and who knows what else is going on in his place.
Yeah, but he said, like, everybody's watching the video.
Right.
You know, because Moira kind of pops in and he's like, "Hi, Mrs. Rose." And, yeah. You know, she's like, "Hello, Theodore." I love when she calls him Theodore. It's so cute.
And I love how she just takes over basically the conversation and starts talking about how, question, does she die at the end of The Crows Have Eyes 3?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he's talking about, I love this scene at the end.
When you try to fly and you realize you
that your wings aren't developed enough. And I just didn't know if she, like, jumped off of something to try to fly.
Out of a big nest that she's in.
Or was just flapping her wings and then was sad that she couldn't fly.
I don't know. Maybe we'll never know.
I don't think we'll ever know.
Unless we find out there's a Crows Have Eyes 4.
Right. And is her name and face on the poster.
And again, every once in a while, I notice a fun fashion moment. I kind of loved, like, Alexis's dress in this.
I love this dress.
But Moira, Moira was like, I know she was wearing this suit when she did the show, in the morning show. But she was sitting down. I feel like you didn't really get, like, when she was standing up having this conversation, that her outfit was amazing.
It looked like that.
It looked like houndstooth.
M.C. Escher, kind of. Like with the geese. The black geese that fly and the white geese that are there.
No, it was like houndstooth kind of pattern.
Oh, is that what that's called? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But I just thought it was awesome. I thought she looked so good in that. And I loved she had little jewelry stuff on with it. And she just looked awesome. I thought that was a fun fashion moment. I mean, every fashion moment for her is fun, but I really liked that.
Sure.
But she totally interrupts this phone call and then is starting to get freaked out about obligations that she has, and she needs Alexis to help step in.
That BuzzFeed is calling and Interflix, of course, needs to talk to them. And it's a really big deal. And this is where Ted sort of sees it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he's like, go do your thing.
You're busy. You seem really busy. Go do what you need to do. And Alexis is kind of torn, like, I don't, you know, but Moira was pretty insistent.
Yeah, not as torn as she is later, we sort of start to get the sense. But also, it's kind of nice because he's doing what he needs to do, and he's, I guess, pretty successful at helping turtles hatch eggs.
Yeah.
And her stuff is finally not just catching on, but seems to be a really big deal at this point.
Kind of taking off,
yes, exactly.
Yep.
So now we go to... Is it the parents' room? It appears to just be a random room in this hotel.
I don't know. I'll be honest. Okay. I didn't look that closely. No, that's... I was concentrating way too much on the suit that was too small.
Right. The layout is the kids' room where the beds are against that wall. But, of course, it's not the kids' room because Alexis would be in there. She's in the room.
Right.
Anyway, but Bob walks out of the bathroom dressed up in Johnny's suit.
Right. Which... Yeah, never mind. No, that makes sense. Yeah, way too short, way too small. Little Pee Wee Herman-esque. That's what it reminded me of.
and it makes it appear like he's wearing his shirt under the jacket because his shirt's the right length, but the jacket's short. I'm like, he didn't look that terrible to begin with. I mean, he's Bob. He's always kind of slouched over.
A little gangly, yeah.
Also, we saw him... He's got a leather jacket. Like, just go home and get that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless Gwen took it.
Maybe.
I could see that.
Yeah. All right. She's giving it to her male cousins that are coming over.
So they decide he looks fine, I guess.
I don't know. He's standing there at one point, and his eyes were, bugging out and looked really big, and he just looked like a crazy person.
Well,
I wrote, bug-eyed weirdo. What? Just the way he was standing there at that moment. I was like, oh, man, he looks a mess.
It sounds if you were playing pool at that bar, you would have said, look at that bug-eyed weirdo when he walked in.
I don't know. He normally doesn't look like that, though. It's just in that moment. His eyes just looked really big, and he just looked crazy. Right. But then they got him right into some role play.
This is crazy. I love how Johnny goes, now, I don't know if I can speak on behalf of women. And Freddie immediately goes, you can't. But they have to formulate a plan for this. They can't just take him out. Look at him.
Yeah.
They have to have some sort of plan on what's going to happen when they get there. So you're right. They decide to role play.
Yes. Roland just playing a woman. He's playing the gal that Bob's going to pick up.
This is my favorite part of the entire episode.
When he introduces himself as Gwen.
To which Bob instantly starts crying again.
Right, yeah. So then they were like, okay, wait, no, we need to try again.
And I love how Roland's like, I panicked. Yeah. It was the only name, I'm looking at Bob, it's the only name I can think of.
But then it gets even better, because when they try to take two, he introduces himself as Ronnie and says, points to Ronnie and says, that's my friend Gwen.
These quick cuts when he says, hi, I'm Ronnie. And it cuts to Ronnie and she's looking around like, what's happening right now? And then he says, there's my friend Gwen. And Bob cries. Bob, is this when he turns away and like goes to the wall, just like stands against the wall?
It's so funny. Yeah.
It is so good. Mm-hmm. Can somebody please hire Donna Croce to make more things? Because this is great. This is all direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah, all right. It's very fun. Then we go back to Patrick's, where they are kind of discussing this night out at Jake's. Who I like that David said, he's nobody's ex and everybody's ex. Which is a great way to describe him. We couldn't come up with things before. No, like, I couldn't come up with anything.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe him.
Favorite coffee table maker isn't close to what David says here.
Yeah, it's super funny. But yeah, so they have a big discussion about going there.
Yeah.
And of course, they're assuming, like, this is basically setting them up for a night of fun with Jake.
Exactly.
100%.
You will figure out what's going to happen when we get there. This is what Jake's all about. I assume that, you know, at some point, David has talked to Patrick about this whole Stevie situation and all of that.
Right,
And I don't know if it's just Patrick being like, I don't know, let's go be adventurous. Like, let's do something
Which
different.
In a way is a little out of character for him, because I feel like
a
he was...
A little out of character?
Okay, all right, well, because he was so tentative about this whole relationship from the start about recognizing and kind of like feeling that, you know, David was like a comfort zone for him and like who he needed in a relationship and everything. Yeah. And now that he's just like, all right, let's go do this. Let's explore this night of passion with Jake.
Right.
If that's
what
they're looking for. So,
and I love how David's response is kind of like, all right, like I think he's having fun with the fact that Patrick might not quite know what he's in store
for. What he's getting into.
Because it's really like, all right, hey, if you want to do this, let's go.
But at the same time, I don't know. Is David a little bit into this perspective as well?
Definitely. Because when they're outside talking later and they're like, okay, well, if one of us doesn't want to, and they say like two completely different things, like, all right, well then that person should go. I think that's what David says. And then Patrick says, we should both go.
So
it's a super fun discussion, but they...
Oh, and this is where he's eating the pretzel too. Because I wrote David, mall pretzel, and put a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know where they went and got pretzels, but...
I don't know how long this conversation's been going on, because they're standing in the same spots. Like, Patrick's still in the kitchen and David's still sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Moira.
Motel.
And she's in her room surrounded. She calls Alexis in.
Surrounded by all kinds of flowers and
balloons
and gifts and everything else. That all came very quickly.
Yeah.
All those deliveries came at once. Very fast.
And that's another thing, you know, I know we've talked about time passage and stuff like this. I love how all of this whole episode takes place in a day.
Yeah.
You know, we're jumping all over the place, but we're spending a real good amount of time with the characters that we know, and bringing in some fan favorites, I'm going to say. Some of my personal fan favorites.
Yeah.
But it's all just one day. So Alexis reads one of the notes, I guess, one of the cards that's in the flowers, and they are, it's for her, and that's when Moira says, it's all for you.
It's all for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all kind of impressed with her PR and what she did, and, you know, everybody's sort of praising her, I guess.
I mean, they're the most watched thing on Interflix.
Yeah.
I think they're coming in just ahead of the fourth season of
Caroline in the City. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's too funny.
I don't think I've done this.
You have a question about Caroline in the City? Because I can't answer that.
No, I was going to say, if you have a question about Caroline in the City, I think I could answer it. I watched that show quite a bit and way more than I thought I did.
Wow.
It's impressive. My brain is stuffed with a lot of old TV from the 90s.
Yeah, I know that.
But boy, do I know. Somebody once just said, did you know that Leah Thompson was... And I was like, yeah, Caroline the City. She had a fish tank and a TV in her living room. And I've actually...
I think I've seen a few episodes.
I've actually gone on YouTube and I've watched a few episodes within the past couple years. I guess
I was a fan. You can start the Caroline in the City podcast when we're done with this. So if anybody is a really big fan and is interested, they should reach out to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm waiting for the non-response that I'm going to get to
that. Well, you never know. There might be somebody else who has kept up with that show.
I don't think anybody has. I bet if you asked Leah Thompson, she barely remembers that she was in that show. Right. But you know what? There is a bouquet that... or a flower arrangement that is not for Alexis.
Oh, they're from Joyce DeWitt.
Again.
Which is the second drop of her name.
Oh, I thought this was the third.
Oh, is it the third? I know it's definitely the second.
I think it's the third.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So now, Alexis, with all of this, you know, all of these gifts.
All these accolades.
Yeah.
She's realizing, like, wow, I really am kind of good, and people are recognizing me for my talents and everything.
And I think it's really nice that she brings this up to Moira. Mm-hmm. Like, this could have been an internal struggle for her, and then eventually she just freaks out on David at some point.
Right.
But she doesn't. They're forming a bond, and way more of a bond than they had just, you know, a few episodes back, to be honest. And so she comes right out and she says, I'm not sure I should go.
Should go, yeah.
I'm not sure I can go.
Yeah, no, definitely. She's definitely having, like, all these mixed emotions about this now. She's like, how do I leave in the middle of all this? And everybody, that like, what I've wanted now is starting to happen.
Exactly. Who knows if this will be there?
Yeah, she doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah, who knows if this will still be here when she gets back.
Right, yeah.
All right. What a what a flawless transition where people will not know that we paused for 3 hours.
We just had a 3-hour intermission. Yeah. Yeah.
But we're back.
Better than we were before.
I don't
know. Not really,
we're
probably.
Pretty great before. So let's go to the Wobbly Elm.
Oh, my favorite place.
It's been a little while.
It has been a little while.
It was last season. Right? That Alexis and Twyla went on their girls' night out?
Oh, gosh. I think that was like, was that season 5 or season 4?
I thought it was 5, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Time passes.
What do I know?
Quickly.
Yes. But they're all out. The four of them, Johnny, Roland, Ronnie, and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob's there, but he's not with them. The three of them are sitting at the bar.
He's talking with a lady, giving her hugs.
Yeah. He's really hitting it off.
He's networking, really out and about,
putting himself out there. You could say that Bob's doing pretty well for himself.
Until you find out that it's his marriage counselor that he's hugging, and they're basically parting ways because she's going to go with Gwen.
Right.
So clearly it's a conflict of interest to consider or to continue to stay with him.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage counselor... If your marriage isn't working out and has ended, does your marriage counselor have to pick sides?
I don't know.
Like,
couldn't
she?
I would assume they would, like, release you at that point.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not going to see your marriage counselor.
You're not trying to work
anymore on
this anymore at this point. I don't know.
Do you think that she, do you think it's a business decision for her where she sees and understands, like, Gwen's going to keep having trouble, so she's probably going to have to keep coming back. Bob, who knows? He doesn't have any prospects right now.
I don't know. Maybe.
So maybe this woman's like, I still have, you know,
she's thinking this is lucrative to continue to connect with Gwen.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a pretty nice split between the two of them.
Yeah,
he's not completely devastated by this.
Right.
But who knows how much he's had to drink at this point.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Yeah.
So
then they have to go with Johnny's plan, which is to just pretend that Bob has just told a really funny joke and everybody laugh.
Bob's concern at whether somebody's going to ask him what the joke was is genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie doesn't like this plan. Roland doesn't like this plan.
Right. But nobody else is coming up with anything better in the moment.
No,
so.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, and they do, I did notice that they do turn around and kind of like make eye contact with a woman who's mm-hmm. playing pool. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny says, just follow my lead mm-hmm. and starts laughing, to which Ronnie and Roland play
they
along.
They follow, yeah.
And then this woman who was playing pool comes up and confronts them. Mm-hmm. This woman, she is, first of all, this is I've done this multiple times where I just wrote the words bar woman.
Oh.
And then I looked, and that's she's what she credited is. As bar woman.
Oh, it's like you're psychic.
Her name is Edie Inksetter. And she has been in episodes of Hemlock Grove and Suits and Murdoch Mysteries, mm-hmm. Saving Hope, Designated Survivor, and was in 11 episodes of The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know.
I've watched, so right. I should have recognized her.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean,
they look really different in that show.
I was also going to say, and I haven't watched any of it, but aren't they all kind of like dressed up the same?
Not all of them.
In like robes
I mean,
and
there's
stuff?
Different no? characters, okay. but right. yeah, I should probably know which person she is. If I thought about it long enough, maybe I'd get it. I don't know that I'm getting it right now.
Let's think about it in
podcast.
Real time.
Okay. Right. Everybody give me about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then
no,
we'll
pick up. She has a lot of credits to her name.
Okay.
And she comes over to them basically mm-hmm. saying, were you laughing at me?
Right, yeah.
And she has no time for it. She's really upset with them.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, most people wouldn't do that.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know about most people. I wouldn't.
No,
I would just feel self-conscious all night that they were laughing at me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you're busy laughing at that bug-eyed freak or whatever you call Bob.
Yeah, bug-eyed weirdo?
Bug-eyed weirdo. That's what it
was. I said weirdo. It was bug-eyed, right?
No, that was a little bit nicer.
Or did I say big-eyed? No, I said bug-eyed.
Yes,
okay.
You did.
I did. So, yeah.
That's what a 3-hour break will do to you.
I know. I have to go back and confirm, right. Confirm in my notes.
I love this. So this woman walks away and then, first of all, she does ask Bob what he said that was so funny.
Yeah.
And he's got nothing.
Right, of course.
And she walks away and then he says, I'm sorry, I froze. She was a dead ringer for Gwen.
Right, which we've seen Gwen.
Yes.
And she wasn't anywhere even close to looking like Gwen at all.
At all. And that's the joke here.
Yeah.
So now let's go to an apartment complex.
Oh, wait.
Oh,
before we get there, I also thought it was funny that Ronnie has had it with them. And she's like, I'm going to go mingle and I might not come back.
Right.
So I kind of love that, too.
Which is what
any
of them should have done the moment they mm-hmm. walked in and Johnny started yelling about ideas.
Right. Yeah.
So let's go to an apartment complex that maybe we haven't been to before. But you said... And it's a good point. Not entirely, because the way they come into this apartment, that entryway is not like mm-hmm. Stevie's. But
the kitchen is just like hers, with the little peninsula.
Yeah,
like
the sort of living area.
Yeah, counter space looked similar to Stevie's.
It does
place.
Look like they just set dressed Stevie's apartment mm-hmm. differently and moved a wall or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked a little similar.
We're not quite in the apartment yet because we're out in the hallway right now.
Oh, yeah. Patrick in his tiny shirt. I didn't think it looked that bad.
I didn't think it looked
he
bad at all.
He wanted to show off his guns.
Yeah.
You know, he was like ready to, you know, he was probably hoping that this shirt also complimented his lips.
I mean, it's not blue, right?
I don't remember.
I don't think his sweater was either, earlier.
His sweater, I think, was like a bluish green, maybe.
Okay.
I believe.
All right. Okay.
There's got to be blue in this shirt somewhere. I just don't really remember. But
maybe it's the ring.
Yeah, I don't
sleeves.
Remember. But I didn't think it looked that... I mean, I guess it was tight, but I didn't think it looked like inappropriately tight. The way David was kind of like, you're bringing friends when he took like his jacket off or whatever. And does that come in adult size? I didn't think it looked that bad.
I don't think it looks bad. It is just very different than what I would.
True. He's usually in like a
wear.
Button down, like little more conservative.
Oh,
this
yes.
was like a little bit of a, this was his party look.
Yeah. No, you know what? Listen, we saw him at a party before, but it was a pajama party.
Yeah.
So maybe this is,
this is his going
something
out
in
gear.
The back of his closet that he really doesn't bring out a whole lot.
Or maybe he went and bought it special.
I love that they're having this conversation in the hallway.
Right.
And it's either they've been having the conversation the whole
since
way.
Since they left.
Or David was just waiting to say something.
Right, yeah.
Until they were right outside of Jake's door.
Yep. Yeah. And I like that David is wearing his leather scented moisturizer.
Yes.
Because, so you know, they both are like putting on airs
they've
for this both party.
Gotten
right?
dolled up.
Oh, yeah.
For this event.
Yes.
And they knock on the door.
I'm calling it a party because I have, of course, obviously in my notes, but it really was just a chill hangout.
It's a,
That's what it was supposed to be.
It still is. Yeah. Seems to me like it's still a pretty chill hangout.
Right.
Because Jake opens the door, doesn't really even seem very thrilled to see them. It's just kind of like, hey, guys decided to show up. Cool. Come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, but they kind of walk into like a full on party, you know, meaning that it's not just the two of them walking into this apartment, of course, as they were anticipating.
Right.
It
I mean, they expected
with,
that there would
there
be
a bunch of people.
Three people here.
A thruple.
A thruple, if you will.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's a lot
many
of people
more people
hanging out.
Yeah.
And they are not prepared for this.
No.
And also, I didn't know, let me know what your thinking was here. Mm-hmm. Because David says, oh, we left the wine in the car. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, is that a tactic to get out of this environment? I mean, it is, and they use it as such. Mm-hmm. But is David saying it that way? Or they're at a party, and they didn't bring anything. And David sees it as being rude. So was his plan to be like, we got to get to the liquor store, get wine, and then come back and pretend we left it in the car?
Because
we accidentally show up to a party with nothing.
Right. Mm. I didn't even think of it that way. I just interpreted it as they were kind of like, okay, what is this scene going to turn into later?
Mm.
Is this like a swinger kind of event?
Right.
Like, what is this? And maybe they were kind of like not feeling the vibe.
No.
I didn't think about the fact that they hadn't brought anything.
Yeah.
I did like that they said, you know, we left the wine in the car, and Jake's like, oh, it's not a big deal. There's plenty to drink, plenty of wine. And they were like, well, it's kosher.
Right. Yes, it's kosher wine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because when I was early 20s, 21, maybe 22, I was invited to a party. And I went, and I didn't bring anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were... I didn't know.
Yeah.
And even the person throwing the party could tell that I was kind of upset about this. And they were like, you're in your early 20s. Nobody expects you to bring anything. Mm-hmm. And I still felt stupid.
Well, yeah.
So now I don't know. Maybe I think about that too much now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends on where you're going. And I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I don't, I'm not really sure. I don't know. I did not get the panicking because they didn't bring anything vibe, but maybe that could be what was happening.
Well, let us know, listeners.
Maybe
I think
it's both, but I think maybe they were just deciding like, okay, we feel really dumb. We thought we were bringing, but then I was like, well, why wouldn't they just stay?
Why wouldn't you just hang out?
Well, like, because it's I think he's talking about a massage circle and everything else. And I think they were kind of like, yeah, this isn't really our jam.
But he didn't say that yet. Yes.
Right.
When Jake says, hurry back, the massage circle's starting soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe then you leave.
Yeah.
But before they leave, they notice Stevie's there. And it's funny because right around this point in the episode, I wrote in my notes, Stevie's not in
this
one.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I thought she was working the desk because there's nobody else there.
Yeah, no, we hadn't seen her.
Yep.
So yeah, so clearly she's still
either
is in the Jake circle or is still trying to, like, figure out her place in the world right now. And that was, her, like, well, maybe I'll go hang out with him for a while. I don't know.
Their apartments are so similar. Maybe she lives in the same
maybe
building.
Maybe she got confused.
She lives down, and she walked in the wrong apartment and just ended up here. I like that idea better.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do like how she says to David, can I not have one thing for myself?
Right, yeah.
It is very fun because she, of course, doesn't expect to see them there.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of give her an out, like, we're leaving.
Right.
Why don't you come with us? She doesn't want to.
Yeah, no.
She's going to stay.
Yeah.
Really awesome, really fun. Mm-hmm. And I think, pretty sure, this closes the book on Jake, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
I don't think we see him again, but I don't remember.
He could be in attendance the very...
I don't think.
You know, okay. All right. No. Well, we will get there.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's sort of end. We ended that plot point, and now let's sort of close for now the Alexis and Ted thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's back on with Ted. So this is like, this is their second call in one day. This is a lot.
Well, their other one got cut short.
Sure.
So,
yes.
You know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
He is now in his own little dormitory.
Yeah, he's super excited because Myrtle was laying eggs.
It's very sweaty, too. It's very sweaty. I mean, I assume it's a million degrees even at night in the Galapagos. I have no idea.
I don't know either.
But yeah, Myrtle had babies.
Laid eggs.
Right.
Yeah.
I did think it was strange that Alexis said something about omelets. Mm-hmm. Like, even she has to know that that's not what's going to happen here.
Right, yeah.
And this is a really nice conversation because it's basically Ted comes out and apologizes for not being the best about these calls.
Right. Like, I feel like I'm dropping the ball with these phone dates and everything. And then he kind of says, like, I think you should just stay where you are. Like, right now, you wouldn't want to be here. There's bugs everywhere. The screens that I put up are attracting more bugs.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hate it. You know, so he kind of broaches the subject of her waiting a little bit, which we know was already kind of in her thoughts as well.
Exactly. Because she starts to say it at the same time he does. And this really takes a lot of pressure off of her in that she doesn't have to bring this up. You know, he's offered it. But also from his perspective, I think he knows that she would regret coming. And he doesn't want to be responsible for her putting this business on hold and potentially losing the momentum that she's gaining just to come and stand there and say ooh a lot while turtle eggs are popping out of a turtle.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
You know? I mean, I think.
I know, but didn't you, like...
Yeah.
Didn't you, like, think by the... I don't like the expression on her face at the end. I feel like she was like realizing, like kind of disappointed.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, I totally did. I thought at the end of the call, she looked sad to me. Like, I think she hesitated. I think she looked sad. I think she looked a little bit distressed, kind of like, oh, like I was trying to figure out a way to bring this up, but he brought it up before I could. And I think she's starting to feel a little bit like, he doesn't want me there.
He's
pushing me off. Even though she's thinking like the same thing, I feel like this is like a little bit of an internal conflict for her. I just thought she looked sad and disappointed. And she's kind of like realizing like, this isn't working. Like, we can't touch base on the phone, but like, I feel like I should be here.
Right.
He's kind of saying like, maybe you don't want to come here yet. And I thought she looked distressed at the end of the call a little bit. I thought she looked sad.
Okay. I didn't read it that way.
Okay. So, I did.
Listeners, let us know.
Yeah.
I thought she seemed...
I thought her whole, like, demeanor kind of, like, went down.
Oh, okay.
No, not that she was, like, super happy in the beginning, but I felt like as they were kind of talking, I feel like she was like, oh, okay, okay. Like, kind of like, I'm going to say all the right things that I should say.
Sure.
But... I think she was feeling kind of like, what's happening here? Like, are we growing apart?
Right.
Are we, like, you know, is this not working?
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I got that vibe.
No, I didn't read it that way.
I just thought her face.
That's great.
I thought she looked kind of sad at the idea of it.
Yeah.
Especially when she's, I think, struggling with how she's feeling.
Right.
And then she's like, he's kind of feeling the same way, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, maybe you shouldn't come. And, you know, I think she sort of is like, oh, like, he doesn't want me there right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got sadness.
Okay. All right. Very fair.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, can we move away from sadness and go back to this
bar? Go back to the Wobbly Elm? Sure.
Yes, okay.
And the fire ants were back. So that kind of put like a quick end to their call.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I like how he said The flies weren't a problem anymore because he installed screens, but now the screens seem to be attracting more flies.
We're attracting more bugs. Yeah, I think I said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, Ronnie, having much better luck at the bar than Bob was, and she comes over and mentions that her new friend, let's say for the evening, has another friend. And so she's like, Bob, come over. Talk to this woman.
Vanessa.
Yes.
She's having trouble with her car.
Well, yes, yes. Yeah. And I love it how Bob's like, well, I was hoping not to talk shop.
Right, tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and Bob goes over and seems to be in the back engaged in conversation. And I do love how Ronnie looks at Roland and Johnny and is like, well, that's how you do it.
That's how
dummies.
It's done.
Like,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So she kind of got the whole setup happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we basically close out with a bunch of jokes at Johnny's expense.
Yeah, Johnny and Roland
made by
sort
Roland.
Of joking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're having their little dog beer.
Oh, yes. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
We saw this before.
Redmond
right?
beer.
Multiple times
was it
before.
At the barbecue, I think, maybe?
I feel like it was at the barbecue. Mm-hmm. I feel like it might have been what Moira was dumping down the drain when Johnny was like, but that's my beer.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've seen that. Mm-hmm. Time and time again, but in this episode, like just because of the different camera angles you brought up, you could really see the labels very clearly.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's
right?
It.
That's how the episode
that
ends.
That is how the
All
episode
right.
ends. Yeah, I flipped almost flipped the page like, wait, was there anything else? Is
no.
that really how it ended? And
no.
It was.
Speaking of episodes, this one's been pretty long. We've
well, when you have like an intermission in the middle.
Right, yeah.
You know, we hope everybody had time to get their snacks. And, well, we did.
yeah.
Snacks, run children places, pick children up, wait for them in between.
I hope you intuited that we had left and you paused the podcast to get snacks.
Yeah,
right?
Like hopefully you had, you know, ran some errands in between. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Take your.
We should do that every episode. We should be like, okay, everybody, take your intermission now and start us back up in about 3 hours. And
All right. I mean, people can do that. I don't think listening to a 50-minute to an hour-long podcast is a lot, but
well,
I tend to listen to a lot of podcasts. Right. Small doses.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you listen for 5 minutes every day, by the time another episode comes out, you'll be ready for it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sit around and wait.
You'll be like, oh, good. I did my 5 minutes today. It was very taxing.
I know. It was exhausting.
Right. It was exhausting.
They didn't even talk about Schitt's Creek. This 5 minutes, they talked about Caroline in the City. it was awful.
Wow. This is so great.
So... at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best Schitt's Creek episode ever to the least best Schitt's Creek episode ever. So, Carla, if this episode were a wingman, would it be Johnny or Ronnie?
Oh. This episode was fun. I don't know that I was as much in love with it as you were. Like, when you said earlier, like, this was such a fun episode. It was fun, but I don't know that I, like, had that connection quite as much as you did. I'm going to, oh my gosh, it's not a touch screen.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
need
I know.
Two fingers on it to scroll. Oh, what happened?
I don't know. The translator came on.
Oh boy.
This maybe the last podcast should just be like a lesson on how you work
just a lesson.
Apple, whatever this is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a crummy work computer.
That's my crummy work computer.
But yours is like a I can't do it.
Oh my god, what's happening here?
I haven't moved it at all.
Wow.
And other things
there's
are popping up.
There's clocks up here. There's news stories on my screen.
All I wanted to do was go down maybe like 2 or 3 episodes from what I could see.
Can I put it here?
Sure. We'll make that work. All right.
I'm not editing any of this out, by the way. Just so you're aware.
That's okay. Everybody knows that I'm not technologically savvy with, I don't know,
it's
mouse pads.
Fine.
I'm not really sure. Is that what that's called? I'm going to go with this being my new number. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say, my new number 16.
Number 16.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Down in here.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
It might be. Let me just scroll real quick. It's your highest of this season so far.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, I was waiting. I was waiting, and I knew something would happen this season. I knew it would get great. I knew it would be on board. This is my new number 7.
What?
Yes.
I am shocked that this broke your top 10.
I love this episode. I understand that there are probably a lot of people, a lot of Schitt's Creek fans, where this is just an episode.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
that's kind of how I think,
like,
I feel.
You know, we're focusing on secondary characters like Bob and Ronnie for most of it. And we're focusing on like a tertiary character like Jake. But I like my comedies with a lot of laughs, and this is a very funny episode.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this. You know, I don't know. We'll see. It might still stay in my top 10 by the end, but
yeah.
I really had a good time with this, and this is my top by far. My next one is, I think, number 31.
Oh, wow.
And yours is, not that people are that interested in this right now.
No.
Your next is 36. No, sorry, 24.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's where it is.
How about that?
All right.
I'm impressed.
Well,
and look how quickly you were able to scroll right down the list.
Oh, thank you, folks.
Unlike me.
Yes, for
yeah.
Thank you for sticking with us through this one, which has been sort of, I don't know, all over the place. It feels maybe more haphazard than when you're listening to it.
I'm sure it's haphazard when you listen. You're giving us way too much credit.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do the things.
Every time you roll your eyes at us as listening to our podcast or while listening to our podcast.
An angel gets its wings?
You should just take a shot.
I don't think that's how drinking games work. I don't think it's dependent upon your reaction.
Well, it could be fun. Listeners, let us know. Give it a try and see how it works out for you.
Yeah, see how that works. If you die, then we know that you really weren't taking what we're saying very seriously.
Yeah.
As I'm sure all of you know how serious this podcast is supposed to be. A serious dissection of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
But that dissection will continue.
Oh, in two
Carla,
weeks.
In 2 weeks' time, when we will be talking about the 7th episode of season 6. Moira Rose.
Yeah.
So we get to visit another old friend.
I know.
Wow, it's been a while.
Fun.
All right. Until then, everybody, thank you again for listening and have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.